This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, telling forth from God's inspired, infallible, indestructible, and irresistible word, the glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter Nortier, speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners.
Let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father and our God, thank you again for this precious privilege we have of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio. We commit this broadcast unto thee, asking you, Lord, that thou wilt empower it, use it for thy glory and honor, and use it also as a communication of thy grace to some heart out there that needs to know thee. We ask also that you will strengthen those that are listening in that may be downhearted and discouraged. But, O our God, how thankful we are that thou art a God who controls everything, and, Lord, a God who is able to comfort no matter what the situation may be. So get glory to thyself in this broadcast, and, Lord, do that work and use the broadcast, if you will, in that manner. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Our text today is found in Esther chapter 4, and I want you to turn with me, if you will, to verse 8. And we're in verse 7, I should say. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan, to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, and make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach, and gave him the commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of him to put him to death, except to whom such the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another source, that thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day. I also and the maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Our subject today is, as we look again at the fourth chapter of the book of Esther, our subject today is the position of the individual just before redemption. Last time we brought you a message on the cry of the awakened sinner. Now, if you've never been awakened by the Lord God of heaven, my friend, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you point blank, every individual has to be awakened by God the Holy Spirit, or that individual will never come to Christ. Nobody escapes it, no matter who they may be. You may be brought up in a Christian home, you may be going to a religious school, you might even be a preacher, or a deacon, or a Sunday school teacher, whoever it is. But if you have missed Holy Spirit conviction, then put it down. You've missed repentance, and when you miss repentance, you miss faith, and when you miss faith, you miss Christ, and when you miss Christ, you miss everything. Now, people today don't seem to understand that salvation is a traumatic but a blessed experience. It's an experience between you and the Lord God of heaven. And today, for a few moments, I'm going to show you the position of the individual just before redemption. Now listen carefully, like you've never listened before, because I'm going to describe your condition, or what you will go through if the Lord God of heaven ever awakens you. Now your condition will be particular to you, but I'll tell you right now, these things that I'll bring out to you today will be known to you. You'll understand what I'm talking about, and you'll be able to go down the line with me in your own experience, because salvation is an experience between the individual and the Lord God of heaven. Don't ever get away from it. And today, salvation has degenerated into what? Into a decision, into a commitment card, or walk in the aisle, or something like that. But my friend, salvation is an experience between the Lord God of heaven and the individual. And nobody else is invited in this experience. Now let's look at the position of the individual just before redemption. Number one, there's consciousness that delay means death. In Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, Mordecai told Esther what she must do. And are you listening? What Mordecai told Esther she must do physically is what takes place spiritually in the heart of the individual when the Lord God of heaven begins to deal with that person. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? All right, take your Bibles, if you will, and you turn back with me to the book of Mark in the New Testament. Mark chapter 10, and we see it set forth for our learning. Are you following with me? Look again. Mark chapter 10, if you will, look at verse 46, and this is what it says. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now what do you have here? All right, the blind man knew that the Lord Jesus was passing by. He cried out because he was afraid that God would pass him by and he would never have another opportunity again. And in like manner, Esther had to go in before the king, Ahasuerus, to plead not only for herself, but also for her people. And I'll tell you right now, it is a one-time reality. It's a one-time decision, and I'll tell you right now, it's a real decision that an individual has to make. The blind Bartimaeus was told by the people around Jesus, shut your mouth. In other words, they didn't want to hear the cry of an awakened sinner. And are you listening? That's the same thing that goes on in our religious circles at this present hour. The average individual today doesn't know what Holy Spirit conviction is. The average preacher today doesn't understand Holy Spirit conviction. And I'll tell you right now, when they give an invitation and somebody comes forward, immediately they try to bring that individual on a profession, and they don't know whether that individual is under true Holy Spirit conviction or not. But my friend, I want to tell you right now, if God ever deals with you, and if he ever has dealt with you, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you were on your road to a devil's hell, and that consciousness and delaying would mean death. You were conscious of the fact that if you delayed, it would mean your eternal death. And that's why the song that Fanny Crosby sang is so beautiful. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Now, Esther was in that category. She was conscious that delay would mean death. Secondly, we find also she could not travel any other pathway. Esther had to go in to see the king. Now, you're so dogmatic about it. Well, I want you to turn again with me, if you will, to Esther chapter 4. And I want you to notice what Mordecai told her in verse 12. She could not travel any other way. Then they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another source. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And the answer was, Esther returned at Mordecai this answer, Fast and pray with me for 3 days, and then I'll go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. You see, Esther could not travel any other route. Under Holy Spirit conviction, the individual cannot travel any other route. The individual has to come to Christ if that individual is going to be saved. Now, why do I tell you this? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And the Lord Jesus also made that statement himself as he spoke to individuals while he was here on this earth. And I invite you to turn with me, if you will, to the 8th chapter of the book of John and listen to what it says for just a few moments. John is speaking, and we find in verse 24, he's speaking to these Pharisees, and he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And the Lord Jesus is telling the truth there, and it's still the truth at this hour, because are you listening? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And also, there's but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now let me ask you a question. Have you come to Christ for salvation, my friend? Have you stood before Christ afraid, abashed? And I'll tell you right now, you didn't know whether the Lord would receive you or not, but you had to come, didn't you? You couldn't come because there's no other way. And then we find also, notice the third thing, Esther was committed to whatever sentence might be imposed. Listen again, if you will, to what she told Mordecai. Listen to him. And Esther said, Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. All right, then go back again. We find in verse 11, this is what Esther was telling Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Now, here we find Esther recognized that she could be refused. Are you listening? The individual under Holy Spirit conviction recognizes also that God doesn't have to save him or her. That God is a merciful God. And yet they don't know for sure until it takes place. But are you listening? Esther was committed to whatever sentence might be imposed upon her. And under genuine Holy Spirit conviction, the position of the individual just before redemption is this. He's conscious very clearly that delay may mean death. All right? He cannot travel any other route. And then the individual is committed to whatever sentence may be imposed. The 30 in the book of Esther stands for the blood. And we find also the individual stands before God, passive yet active. Esther stood before the king, passive yet active. And my friend, I listen today. I hope and pray that you know what I'm talking about. Listen to this song, if you will. I've been a lost sinner. Have you? Condemned and could not believe. By distinguishing grace, all my sin had to face. I've been a lost sinner. Have you? Shut my mouth, become guilty. Have you? No one else could I blame. If he sent me to hell, I got justice I'd tell. Shut my mouth, become guilty. Have you? I'm going to heaven. Are you? Working your way there won't do, because the work is already done between the Father and the Son. I'm going to heaven. Are you? Now, my friend, let me ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you going to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ is your Redeemer? Was there a time that you sued for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner? Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, how do you know that you've been saved? Don't believe what somebody says. Read a verse of Scripture and say, well, now, if you'll accept that verse of Scripture, you're saved, my friend. No. Listen, beloved. Salvation is an experience between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to Esther and the king physically is what takes place between the sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. And then I want you to notice what happens when here's a position of a sinner just before salvation. Conscious that their delay means death. They could not travel any other pathway. Thirdly, committed to whatever sentence might be given them. Esther didn't know if the king would receive her or not. And are you listening? A sinner coming to Christ under Holy Spirit conviction doesn't know if Christ will receive him or not until it actually takes place. And that's why salvation is such a marvelous reality. Then we find also Esther was committed to whatever sentence may be imposed. She might be put to death. She knows that. The individual under conviction knows beyond a shadow of a doubt God doesn't have to save him. But are you listening? That individual is passive yet active. They're passive in that they're willing to take whatever sentence the Lord God of heaven imposes upon them, but they are active in that they cannot help but sue for mercy. This is why salvation is such a tremendous reality. And oh, I hope and pray, you know what I'm talking about. But there's one more thing. Notice again, if you will. In Esther chapter 5, and verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And so it was, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, and she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Now what in the world do you have here? All right, Esther here was casting herself upon the king's discretion. She didn't know if the king would receive him or not. She was suing for mercy, but she didn't know if it would be bestowed or not. And I'll tell you right now, the same thing takes place when the Lord God of heaven works in our hearts. We cast ourselves before the Lord God of heaven in the dust and ashes of repentance. We don't know for sure if God's going to save us or not until it takes place. But we sue for mercy, and we find we become like the publican in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, where it says, "And the publican could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself upon the breast and cried out, God be merciful to me, the sinner." Oh, my friend today, have you been there? If you don't know what I'm talking about, how do you know that you've been converted? Because you see, salvation is the revelation between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ has died for you, and that your sin has been paid for by our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we must one more thing. There's one more thing with it, and what is it? All right, there was not only the casting of oneself upon the king's discretion, but then also, are you listening? Esther was completely aware of the mercy received. Listen again, if you will, in verse 2 of Esther 5. "And so it was, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the golden scepter." Esther was completely aware of the mercy that she received from the king. The king held out that golden scepter to her, and Esther was escorted in the presence of the king. Because, are you listening? She stood before him at his discretion. He could save her, or he could have her put to death. There was one law. If he didn't hold out the golden scepter to her, then I'll tell you right now, she would have immediately been executed. But are you listening? This, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord God of heaven. And when a sinner comes the way of the cross, let me tell you right now, the sinner finds favor in the eyes of the Lord God of heaven. And that sinner stands before the king like Esther did. And I've been there, my friend. I know what I'm talking about. We are completely aware of the mercy that has been received. Oh, listen, it's a marvelous reality. The person who is delivered knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what it means to stand before God in that category. And then we find Psalm 116. We see in verse 8 about this reality. Listen to what it says, if you will. Oh, what a marvelous passage this is. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." My friend, that's a reality, and I hope you know and pray what I'm talking about. But here's the position of an individual just before redemption. When Esther had the golden scepter given to her, I'll tell you right now, right then and there, she had passed from death unto life. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saves the individual, right then and there, instantaneously, we are passed from death unto life. And the individual knows it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Now, these things I've set forth before you, and I ask you this question. Have you been able to travel the route with me? Let me repeat it again. When you're an individual, this is a position of the individual just before redemption. Consciousness, the delay on their part means death. Secondly, cannot travel any other pathway. Thirdly, committed to whatever sentence may be imposed upon them by the king. All right, casting oneself upon the king's discretion and mercy. And then last of all, completely aware of the mercy that's been received. As I said before, I'll say again, it's the greatest thing can happen to you this side of eternity. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.